I'd like now to welcome artist Enrique Figueredo. His exhibition Nuevas Culturas is opening this Friday, July 24th from 5 to 8 at El Zaguán at 545 Canyon Road in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you.
So you are a woodcut printer?
Yeah, is this called woodcut or woodblock printing, you know?
And so what is the process by which you do your work? Let's start with that.
Well, I just buy a block of wood. You know, you can get them anywhere. And then I just paint them black and carve into them, you know.
And so you actually paint them before you carve into them. That way you can see what you're doing better?
Yeah, I prefer to do that. Some people don't. That's pretty brave, you know. But I think if I paint them black, I can get more detail, you know, and more precise marks, you know.
So these are very, I mean, woodblock printing seems to be such a different process than drawing, which is very free, and some of your work combines both drawing and woodcut. You do quite interesting political art, and I'd love to talk to you about some of the different pieces that you do. One of the pieces, which I really thought was terrific, was inspired by the night of election night 2008.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, for a lot of people, like myself, that was a really big night. You know, the election of Obama. And, you know, I watched closely with a lot of friends and family when he was at the inauguration or the acceptance speech at Grant Park. And just watching the looks on people's faces, to me, was just, you know, epic, and just like a sigh of relief. And when they showed Jesse Jackson crying with the flag, that was, you know, something that I captivated in my brain. And then from there, I went ahead and carved other political leaders like Martin Luther King and Mandela and Malcolm X, because I felt like they were all there present watching with us as well. So that was the inspiration for that piece.
You are originally from Venezuela and are very much immersed in both cultures, Venezuelan and United States. And there's a very interesting picture of Hugo Chavez wearing a wig and an outfit that makes him look kind of like George Washington.
Yeah.
Or some other kind of 18th century political leader.
Yep.
What's that all about?
Well, I just am totally fascinated with the man. I feel like he's extremely interesting, brave, very radical, you know, and, you know, whether you like him or not, you have to just accept him and just find so much inspiration from him, you know. And I feel, my personal opinion of him, he's just a complete egomaniac, and that's why I threw the wig on him, because I feel like he sees himself as a Napoleon on a throne, or, you know, a Washington, or a Simon Bolivar, you know. So that's how I saw him, just, you know, with the drapery and the, you know, the colonial wig, and with that face of his, it's just, you know.
It's a great picture. It also opens up a kind of set of political questions about what do you do when you like somebody's ideas, but you find them to be a gigantic egomaniac, and some of that ego does some harm.
Right. Definitely does, you know. But most of the leaders of the world are, you know, we're egomaniacs or are egomaniacs, you know, and I feel like there's, sometimes you have to be, to be able to get your point across, but at the same time, it could be dangerous at the same time, you know. So it's just, I don't know, it's always a give and take, you know, it's always extremes, you know. We can never be, you know, in the medium, you know, level, so.
Now, some of your work is inspired by, you came from Venezuela, you moved here as a young person, and you lived in Michigan for a while, and there's a picture, a woodblock print that you've made that is inspired by Detroit.
Yeah.
And you actually started it before the economic downturn and the bailout and all of that, but it definitely references the mm-hmm. economic situation that we're in now.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like Detroit is an American ruin already, and it's such a important historical place, you know, because that's where the auto industry started, and it was a huge city. It was a big metropolis. Everybody wanted to, you know, live in Detroit. And I also feel like it reflects a lot of places all over the world where they've been exploited and have become, you know, ghost towns and really poverty-stricken cities and countries. So while I was in Michigan, I went to Detroit, and I was just astonished to see, you know, how what it's like. You know, it's like a ghost town in some places. A lot of violence and crime. But at the same time, it's the downtown area is beautiful, great architecture, and, you know, there's a brand new ballpark and Ford Field and, you know, General Motors, the big Renaissance Center, and it just, again, just more extremes. Like, you have, like, extreme poverty and, like, and then you have these super rich companies and corporations that work out of there, but nobody lives in Detroit. Everyone lives in the suburbs. So, so that's what inspired the beginning of that piece, and I started to carve out, you know, immigrant workers from Mexico that came, and, you know, the African Americans, and the people who have been working at the factories for years and years, and then, you know, were laid off, and then the bailout happened, and that was just like fresh air for me. I was like, oh my God, even more, you know, inspiration for me. So it just turned out to be a really good piece, you know, and very powerful for me.
And referencing of this heyday of Detroit and Motor City and all that, which is so gone now.
Oh, it's gone. Motown, even the music. I mean, you think about all the music that came from Detroit, you know, Motown, Michael Jackson, you know, the late Michael Jackson, you know, sorry about that, you know, but, and Parliament Funkadelic and all those people. It's just, it's such a great city with so much history, you know, and now it's just, the music scene is still alive and well there, but the fact that people are losing their jobs so quickly is what's scary about, you know, Michigan. And it's unfortunate because that's where all the headquarters are for all these automobiles, but there's no jobs there, so it's just really weird for me.
So you came from Venezuela and came from a family that was very clear about maintaining your Latin South American culture. While you were here in the United States, you were in San Francisco, Michigan, New York, and then recently you moved to Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like for you to be here in this once Mexico, New Mexican city?
It's really great. It's the first time I've lived somewhere so open. Like San Francisco is really crowded, New York is. Michigan is not so crowded, but New Mexico just has this feeling of openness where life comes together just because it's in the middle of the desert, you know, and...
You mean like spatial openness or people being open to each other? Or?
Both, you know, the spatial openness is foremost, you know, I just think it's beautiful, you know, and just the scenery is very esoteric here, you know, and the people also, there's like a sense of community too, and that's really important. And like you mentioned, the history here for me is just, I'm always curious and I'm always being challenged every day that I'm here. And, you know, that wasn't the case in New York and Michigan and San Francisco. I want to know more about what happened here and the current, you know, lives of you know, not only Mexicans or New Mexicans, you know, because I think they're really just Mexicans, you know, and then the Native Americans too, that culture. I'd like to really explore that, you know. So it's just really nice to be somewhere where I'm challenged and inspired every day.
You're a resident at the Historic Santa Fe Foundation.
Yeah.
And that's a place where artists are selected to come and they can live there for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. It's an incredible space for people to work, for you to be living and working in.
Oh, definitely. I think the Historic Santa Fe Foundation is great. You know, the fact that they, you know, acquired this piece of property on Canyon Road, which has been there for years, you know, it's probably one of the oldest properties on the road, and they just opened it up to artist residents, you know, and it's been the longest continuous artist residency, I think, in the area, Canyon Road area, and it's just a great place to live and great just aesthetically, you know, it's not perfectly groomed, you know, it's just very rough and just natural, you know, and the people there are just really nice and laid back, and it's just, I'm very lucky to be there, and I'm, you know, grateful for it every day.
some of your current work is combining woodblock prints and painting, which are, as we started to talk about a moment ago, two very different styles of painting. One of them incredibly painstaking and obsessive, and the other, at least in your hands, quite free.
Yeah. This new stuff that I'm working on is, it makes me feel free, you know, and I think that was also inspired by moving to Santa Fe, because I've always been doing these woodblocks, which have been very meticulous and obsessive at times, you know, and then now that I'm combining them with paint, I just, you know, it's totally raw painting, spontaneous painting, and it's not technical whatsoever. So when you see these together, you kind of don't know what to think. You know, you don't know whether I'm taking the painting, you know, seriously or I'm not, or if the wood blocks are being taken seriously or they're not, and it's just chaotic, you know. And I guess that's just the way I've been feeling lately. So it's nice to express that on paper.
One of the paintings is of an acacia with the, I don't know what they're called, the devices that stop or open the flow of the water, and the water is red blood. What's the inspiration for that?
Well, a friend of mine who's, I would say, just a historian, not by, you know, he doesn't have, like, his degrees, but he just studies New Mexican history, like, day in and day out, and he's fascinated with it. And he told me this story one night. He was over, I think I was barbecuing or something for everybody, and he told me that the acequia madre was used to win wars between the Native Americans and the Spanish, where the Spanish would, you know, take over the river and stop its flow, and then the Native Americans would, you know, have to go away and find other land, and then the Native Americans revolted and, you know, stopped the river from flowing, and then the Spanish got scared and went away, and it was like a back and forth thing. You know, so
the control of water being basically the lifeblood, and in your painting, literally the blood of the community.
It was just such a, like, he was telling me the story, and the image just came into my head, just manifested itself, because I just found it so interesting that, you know, just that little bit of water was the turning point for a lot of land, you know, and the blood is just blood, because, I mean, we're shedding so much blood. I mean, we have been since the beginning of time, I guess, you know, just all kinds of religious and land and, you know, battles between countries and stuff. It's just so much blood, so I don't know. It's just, I had to paint the blood, I guess.
Now, your paintings have a lot, your woodcuts and paintings, your artwork have a lot of, not exclusively, but certainly a lot of them have political themes. How do people respond to political versus, let's say, landscape and scenery, you know, architectural scenery types of art?
Well, you get two different reactions. You get one reaction that is a positive one, where people kind of applaud you for trying to send a message, you know, and then you get the other response, which is a negative one, which people kind of categorize you as being a cliche, like you are using, you know, political art to make a name for yourself, you know, and you don't really have any imagination because you're just doing political art, you know. So, you know, the challenge is with landscape art is to make the landscape speak, you know, and be poetic, and that's very difficult. So, you know, you just get different kind of reactions, positive and negative. But I stick to the political work just because it's so inspiring to me, and just there's so much injustice and a need for peace that I can't focus on anything else at the moment. So,
Enrique Figueredo is an artist whose exhibition Nuevas Culturas is opening this Friday, July 24th, from 5 to 8 at El Zaguán at 545 Canyon Road here in Santa Fe. You can find more at historicsantafe.org. Enrique, thanks so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR.